Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Nancy, this has just been the most amazing experience. I have loved chatting with you. I love diving deep into things, and you managed to pull things out of me that I didn't even know I felt. And it's always great because I love learning and moving forward. And this has just been an absolute pleasure.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Today's mentor guest is Allison Cromie of Cromie Creative Consultants. I invited Allison into these several conversations to discuss her amazing transformational journey to live and work authentically as she's building a marketing firm in the health and wellness space. And you've been learning about our backstory. We've been giving you some marketing tips along the way. Allison went into a little detail last week about cleaning your Google profile and also just look yourself up every now and then to see if there's any odd stories coming out about you, because there aren't a lot of laws we're finding out that protect us, because this is kind of a newer emerging marketplace where people who have ill intent can do a lot of harm to us electronically and not be held accountable for the negativity and the harm that they're creating toward other people. So I'm glad that Allison shared that tip. Allison Cromie started Cromie Creative Consultants in 2019 after working with clients through a small agency for almost 6 years. She holds a Bachelor of Arts from Hamline University in St. Paul, Minnesota, and has continued her education by taking courses and surrounding herself with mentors along the way. You've been hearing about many of them. And she's also a person who takes charge of her mental and physical health by getting help when she needs it. Allison and her team love to strategize website redesigns by looking at marketing through a holistic lens before executing a cohesive marketing plan. What patterns of success are emerging in your given industry? You can find out and have her team, who partners with wellness practitioners, get found in searches, fill their schedules, and deliberately grow their practices through ads, social media, email marketing, content development, SEO, web design. And if you're not sure where to start, you can start by getting an audit. And so today, welcome to the studio, Allison. I mean, remote studio, right?
right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Glad to be here.
You're welcome. And so our focus today is on using SEO to scale your business.
Yes. Let's get to the meat. I'm so excited to talk about this today.
Yeah. Are you done with your personal history now?
Well, this is where I'm going in life, right? I mean, that's all a big part of it. It shaped everything. But yeah. I love SEO. I can't stop talking about it.
Great. And before, part of SEO is really the content. So what are a few tips that you have to make content planning easy?
Yeah. So I have three to kind of go over today. So the first one is not to overthink it. A lot of people get really caught up with the idea of blogging, and it scares the crap out of them. And what happens is when you think you have to do something that you don't want to do or don't feel like you can do well, you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So what I like to do is sit down with clients and think outside of the box. You know, if blogs scare you, there are other ways to write content. You can focus on things like case studies. Talk about the successes your clients or patients have had. You know, bring in your reviews into your website. You know, talk about what resources your clients might need or tips. You know, there's that, and those are just four of I think, a couple dozen ideas that I like to go over with my clients to make it a lot easier.
Hmm. And what's the second content tip?
So the second one is to brainstorm ideas ahead of time. So this might sound obvious, but not everybody does this. A lot of people will sit down, and I did this too, sit down and go, oh gosh, I have to put a blog out. What do I need to be writing about? And that is so much harder when you don't already have the ideas. So I used to run a content planning workshop, and what I taught people to do was sit down and go, well, what types of content are you putting out there? And what are some ideas? Just start ideating. And if you can do that even once a month and start a list of things, you can take those ideas from questions your clients and customers have already had. You know, what things have you run into in your industry? Just keep a running list somewhere. And I tell people to try to make a digital list that you can bring with you anywhere. You know, get your cell phone out, grab Keep Notes or Evernote or OneNote, you know, if you're a Microsoft person, and just have a list and add to it anytime something comes up. Because when you get ready to actually do your writing, all you have to do is go back to that list and go, which one actually sounds like something I could write right now? Because half your things might be like, okay, maybe I'm not ready for that one. But one might stand out and go, yes, let's do that one today. And you might be able to get it done in half the time than if you had come to that that task without an idea in advance.
Yeah, and you training your brain to really track certain information. So I like the idea of having a digital list. It's harder to write from a blank slate than it is from a slate that you've created with ideas.
Yep.
So your brain can start working on them. And as soon as you put them in the list, your brain, it releases your brain to think about the next level of creating and developing the idea. All right, great. What's your third content tip?
Yeah, so this is where you want to have a plan, and you want to plan out your content. And what that does is it holds you accountable to it. So I've done everything from using my Google Calendar and putting my content schedule right in there as tasks, to printing a calendar out on a piece of paper, handwriting in exactly what types of posts are going out what day, and hanging it right next to my monitor. And I put that somewhere where I'm going to see it so that I don't forget. And I actually also then go digital and make sure that I have that in my calendar. Because if I see it coming up, I can take the time to make sure I'm going to hit that plan, that I'm going to make my deadlines and get that done ahead of time versus scrambling to get it done, you know, the day of. You know, you can do the same thing with you could sit down once a month and write multiple pieces of content and schedule them out. That can be a lot easier for some people. Others might need to do them one at a time, but you don't need to do them, you know, all at the same time. You can, maybe it's one a week and you're 2 weeks ahead of yourself so that you're not scrambling at the last minute.
Excellent. So we use the term SEO and throw around search engine optimization, but what does it really mean, and what does it do, and why should we care about it?
Right. So SEO, it means search engine optimization. And to really, really make this as simple as possible, we talk about Google a lot, and Google's job is to connect people with answers, right? So you have the internet, which is full of information and answers, and you've got a person who wants to know something. And Google's job is to connect that person with the exact answer that they are looking for. So search engine optimization is what you do to your content to make sure that Google understands, this is what I do, and this is who I'm looking to connect with.
And so why should we care about that?
Yeah, so, and this is really, really important when it comes to a local services industry. And this is the type of SEO that I really enjoy, because 46% of searches have local intent. That means people are 46%, that's almost half of all searches on the internet, are looking for something near them.
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. And so, and then if someone goes out and searches and you're you have competitors, let's say you're a chiropractor and there's five chiropractors in your city, you've got competition and you need to stand out against them. And so if your competitors are coming up ahead of you, they're the first ones that are going to get that click, right?
Yeah.
So optimizing your site so that you can get either up to or above your competitors can give you a little more of an edge. Also, another thing to note is that near me, Google searches have doubled in the past year. People are looking for stuff in their area. 86% of people look up the location of a business on Google Maps. This is another incredibly important piece of search engine optimization, is having that Google My Business profile, because that's what shows up on Google Maps. And if you don't have that profile or it's not fully filled out, then that can stop people from finding you.
Yeah, because one of the mistakes that's easy to make is you put the map on your website and contact area, but that doesn't translate to Google.
Right, right. You're just displaying a map out there, but that doesn't mean that your listing is, you know, configured to your information. Google will pull up your business without you claiming it, but if they're pulling up old information and you haven't updated that, that's putting your potential customers or clients or patients, you know, at a disadvantage. They're going to go to the next person when they realize that that information is out of date.
Well, and I'm noticing that Google is informing people more frequently to update their businesses.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. And it's because they want to make sure that they have quality content. It's all it's about anymore is making sure, because that is, like I said, that is their job, to provide people with the answers they are looking for.
Now, with blogs and podcasts and things, can you have just the same keywords? Or should you have like a different grouping of keywords per based on what the article's about?
Right. So when it comes to blogs, there's a couple different strategies when it comes to keywords. There's two types of keywords. There's what's called short tail keywords and long tail keywords. So short tail keywords are your keywords that are short and sweet and to the point. For me, it might be website design, search engine optimization. They're very, very specific. And those are the things that I want to rank for. Those are the things people might be searching for.
Do you have those certain words, those specific words on your homepage in addition to each blog? Or?
So they, actually, the way I do it is those keywords are tied to my services pages. So I'll have those words scattered throughout my website, in blogs, on pages, on the homepage, in the menu. But I specifically want to optimize a single page on my website for that specific keyword. Good. So and I like to think of you can optimize for multiple keywords, but it's better to start with one keyword per page.
Wow.
Now,
okay.
And then what happens is your blogs then are used more for your what's called long tail keywords. And these are more phrases. So a long tail keyword for myself might be, how do I rank on Google? These are things that people are actually typing into Google to find out. They're questions that people are asking. And there's multiple ways to find out what those things are, but I want to write a blog that's very specific to that topic, but then it ties in to my short tail keywords. So if my short tail keyword is search engine optimization, and I write a blog about how do I get found on Google, I'm going to make sure that blog links to my search engine optimization page. And what that does is it tells Google that that search engine optimization page is important because something else is linking to it. Now, if I write five blogs about various search engine optimization topics, and link them to my search engine optimization page. Now Google goes, oh, wow, there's even more stuff pointing to this page. It's really important. And so what it's going to happen is all of that blog content is going to push my search engine optimization page up, because Google knows that it is an important resource because there are other things in other places pointing to it.
What are 3 to 5 key things that impact a ranking? And you've been talking about ranking, so that's one of them.
Yeah. So, so the first thing is consistency. And if you're updating, Google wants you to update consistently, because what that does is it tells Google that your website is up to date. So if I stop posting to my website or making any changes, Google sees that. It knows that I've not made any changes to my site in a long time. And it starts going, oh, maybe this business isn't in business anymore. It's not as important. And it starts pushing me down. So by being consistent, I'm telling Google that I'm still there. And I'm still there on a regular basis. And I'm going to continue. It knows it can expect me to continue updating on that level. The next piece is frequency. So this is the next key thing. And this is the how often in that consistency is. So the more often you can post, the faster you'll start seeing SEO change. And this is where, you know, I like to think of SEO like a bucket. So you have, a water bucket, right? And everything you put into that bucket is like a drop of water. You can put a whole bunch of stuff in there and just fill it really, really fast. And as that water rises, getting to the top of that bucket is just like getting to the top of Google. You're going to get there, but the faster you do it, the faster you're going to get there. Mm. Now, you can also turn your faucet on a very slow drip, and you can drip things into that bucket over time. And as long as that drip keeps going consistently, that bucket is eventually going to fill. And regardless of which way you went, the end result is the same. You're going to get to the top of Google. It's just a matter of how fast you're going to do it. And so, and that becomes really important with consistency, because if you fill it really fast and then you stop, your bucket's going to start going back down. It's like having a slow leak in there. And you got to keep, but if you turn that faucet back on, it's going to start going back up again. Yeah. So you got to think about it as like, how fast do you want that to rise? But you want to make sure you're always adding to it. Then the next thing is quality. So Google, again, their job is to connect people with answers, and they want those answers to be good. They're not just looking to hand people, you know, random information. So they're looking to make sure that you have quality content on your website, content that your visitors are looking for. And the way it tells that is, you know, how long people are staying on your site. Are they going to your site and then leaving right away? Because then they obviously didn't find what they were looking for and they left. So it goes, oh, so this person asked this question and we sent them there. That must not be what they provide. So it's going to, you know, maybe move you down a little bit for that search query.
Now, if you're in your website and you're working on it, does that count with Google as somebody who's spending time on the website?
It does. It does. And now it only does if you've made a connection. And Google indexes sites. We don't know exactly how frequent or what tells it to go look at your website and read through it. Because that's what it does. It goes out on the internet and it's constantly reading through everything. But what you can do is use a tool called Google Search Console to submit what's called a sitemap. And now this sitemap is slightly different than what we thought of as a sitemap back in the day. Back in the day, you had a page that just had links to every page on your website. It's not that. It's actually a code. It's an XML file that Google reads. And every time you make a change to your website, that file gets updated. And by submitting that file to Google and making that connection, Google now knows every time a change is made. And so it knows to go over and look at what that change was. So that can be anything from updating a page to adding new content.
Well, and how do you know if you've got your XML file? Like, you know, if you've hired somebody to do work on your website and they said they're, you know, doing some SEO, how can you tell if they have submitted this XML file?
So the first thing is to make sure you have it in the first place. And what I usually do, the first thing to try, this is not the case, it just depends on what your website's built in. But the first thing to try is to go to your web address / sitemap.xm, as in Mary, L. So if you do that and
so
it comes up
say,
with a...
Say what the link is again.
Yeah, so it's yourwebsite.com / sitemap.xml.
Okay.
And what that does is if you have a sitemap, in general, that will pull up and you'll see a bunch of code. You'll have no clue what it is. It won't make any sense to you. Or it might be formatted, you know, like a table or something. But it will show something. It won't go to like a 404 error. Okay. And that means you have a sitemap. And that's the first step. Having a sitemap is a way for Google to say, hey, great, this is, it's telling me what's here. But there's an extra step you can do to make this happen quicker. And that is you using Google Search Console. So, I mean, just a simple thing of asking, hey, are you submitting my sitemap to Google Search Console? That would be the first thing I would ask when you get into any web design contract. Because they really should be doing that. If they have your best interest at heart, it's a really easy thing to do when a site goes live.
Okay. And there's been some changes over the last couple of years with the Google algorithms. I don't know exactly what they are, but what are the changes that are happening right now?
So Google does send out information on these. And any SEO expert or training resource is always going to be posting about these. So it's a really good idea to go subscribe to people like Neil Patel or Search Engine Journal. These are really great resources for what's going on in the world of SEO and Google in particular. But Google's constantly updating its algorithm because it wants to get better. It wants to do a better job of connecting people with the answers they're looking for. And so it used to be back in the day, you could just hide a bunch of words on your website. You know, you could type in a keyword and make it invisible, and Google would see that and think, oh, that must be what this site is about. Well, now they recognize that. They've gotten smarter. And so as they get smarter and start to really think about how do they better serve, you know, all of us, they're making changes to how ranking happens. So you can't hide things anymore in just your code. It has to be quality content. That's why they're looking at more things. So yes, they're reading your pages for all the words, but now they're looking at things like bounce rates, how long people are staying on your website. Are they going to multiple pages? Those are important. Now they're starting to look at mobile. Google is now mobile first. If your mobile website does not have the same information as your desktop site, and it used to be we created completely different sites for mobile and it might have been simpler and we removed some of the fluff. Well, now that if that fluff isn't there, and not to say it's all fluff, but Google doesn't read it anymore. If it's not on mobile, it doesn't exist in Google's eyes. So you want to make sure that their mobile experience is the same or better than the desktop experience. So that's a new change. And then coming up next month, we have even more changes, and it has to do with a lot of technical things. So now they're looking at how long does your site take to load? If it doesn't load in at least 2.5 seconds, that's not a good thing anymore. I mean, you're going to get penalized for that because they want people want, you know, they want to get there and get what they want as quickly as possible. It's looking at things like, how fast does the site load to the point where someone can actually click on a button? It's getting incredibly technical. And so site speed is becoming a really important thing going forward here. And that's something I work with my clients on to make sure that we're hitting these core web vitals, is what they're called, these new KPIs, these new numbers that Google's looking at. And those are all things you can actually find in your Google Search Console. So that's a really good tool. And you don't have to be a developer to use this tool. It's free. It's available to anyone.
Yeah. And how much time do you suggest business owners evaluate when they should get help or get ongoing help? The websites have been made so user-friendly that mm-hmm. you can actually learn quickly and do a fair amount yourself. But how much time for a business owner, it's kind of like, how long do you mow your lawn? there's actually, or how much do you tip the mail person? But there's information that you can find about the range of things, or like with mowing your lawn, if you make this amount of money, you should consider, doing it unless you really love it, having somebody else do it. So is there some rule of thumb that you have around when you should get help for your website in maintaining it?
And this is an interesting question because I think it really changes based on the industry and the person. But my basic idea here is to think about, what is your time worth? If you are a service-based business, your time is your business, right? You are seeing patients. And if you are away from patients doing your marketing, you are actually losing out on money. You could be with patients making money in your business. And that's really important. And so when you start getting busy to the point where you're losing money in order to do your marketing, you should start paying someone to do your marketing. And that could be little things. It doesn't have to be everything all at once either. Start to delegate, if it's really early, even someone as simple as a virtual assistant, which is an industry that is exploding right now and incredibly helpful, can help you get out of these day-to-day tasks that are keeping you out of billable time.
Okay. Excellent. And you work with practitioners in the wellness profession on SEO strategy. Can you tell me what that entails?
Yeah. So when I work with practitioners, let's say we're talking about a chiropractor, right? You might have started your business. We went out to family and friends as, your first round. And then you start kind of trying to reach out beyond those people. And the first part of that is getting found, right? So you need to get in front of the people who don't know who you are. And one of the first things we work through is listings. This is, again, Google My Business is the first listing that every business should sign up for. And then what you can do is go from there. There are hundreds of places where you can put your website out there to get a listing. And the reason we do this is because of something called domain authority. So Google gives every website a score, a domain authority, and it's on a scale from 0 to 100. And generally, when you first start, you're probably going to be around a 3 to 6. And if you've been in the business for a while, but you haven't become a really big resource, you might get between the 20s and 30s. But the higher that number gets, the harder it is to get there. So the people who are way up top are probably in the 80s and 90s, maybe. They are people like Neil Patel who have constant content going out. Huffington Post is another one. When they started their marketing strategy, when they first started, they were publishing an article. I think it was once every 3 minutes. It was incredible. But what it did was it gave them, over time, a very large authority. So when I go to a website that's been around longer than my business has, and I put my website on theirs and with a link back to me, that site actually has a better chance of ranking than my site does. That's why if I go search for, you know, I'm in Burnsville, if I search for a chiropractor in Burnsville, somebody's Facebook profile might come up before their website does, because Facebook has a really large domain authority. So what we want to do is get you on as many sites that have really high authority as possible to create that bridge until your site is ranking. So then once you start doing that, you want to start building out your own content, because SEO is not something you do and then you're done with. It is a long strategy. Mm-hmm. So the sooner you can start, the better. So that means start building content. Just get content going and schedule it out. And that content needs to be a good combination of keyword-driven and quality content that your prospective customers and clients want to read.
Great. Let's say you're scaling a chiropractic practice. What would be your suggestions? So you've got the foundation laid. You've got SEO that's tracking you. You've started to show up roughly a little bit in the domain authority area with a score. You're on the Google Search Console with an XML file. You've got your short tail and long-term, your short-term and long-term tail, long-term.
No, it is tail. You're right. It's tail.
It is tail?
It's short tail and long tail.
Oh, okay. I thought I had a spelling error. Okay. That's a cute way to think about it. Yeah.
Yep.
Right. And then, so you've got some keywords that are working. You've got your mobile set up, your website's cranking out content on a regular basis. What would be scaling for you? And so the chiropractor is a single sole proprietor chiropractor. And let's say the chiropractor wants to add, he's got one administrative staff, but maybe wants to add another practitioner, a chiropractor, or some other service to complement the chiropractic service.
Yep. So when you think about scaling, especially for a services business, you basically have two options. It's one, add more people to your practice, or start offering group services, because you are a one-to-one service. Your time is related directly to how much money you're pulling in. And so you need to either, you know, raise your rates or, you know, add more people in. And that's generally how these services businesses will scale, is they'll start increasing the number of people that they can bring in. However, you really need that steady stream of leads coming in to fill schedules in order to make that work. You know, if you're doing really well and you're getting to the point where you want to add someone else, but all of your business has been word of mouth and referrals, it's going to be a lot harder to bring in that next person and fill their schedule right away, because they're not coming with a reputation. They're more than likely, they're not coming with that reputation or a set of clients, and they're going to be starting from ground zero. So having that steady stream of leads through SEO is really important, because it gives you that ability to say, I'm getting, you know, let's say I'm getting three new clients a week and I'm full and I can't do that. I know I can add another person, and then we need to maybe do a little extra to up those numbers, but I can fill their schedule because I know those leads are coming in.
Okay.
And if they're not coming in, we have to figure out, what are we going to do to start getting them in, or how are you going to train this person to get their first clients? Because that takes time, and it also takes you away from your business, right? The more time you have to spend training those people in. So if you even get SEO and leads going before you even get there, it makes it so much easier to add that new person in, because you have this model that's working, and you don't have to guess whether or not that person's going to be able to bring in new clients.
Excellent. We've got just a couple more minutes and a few things we're going to try to squeeze in. So when we're talking about social media, how does social media fit in with the ranking, and how many platforms should one be on? So we've got Facebook, we've got Instagram, we've got LinkedIn, we've got Pinterest, we've got Reddit, we've got Snapchat, we've got Twitter, you know, we've got YouTube, we've got TikTok, you know, the list goes on and on. But what are, just quickly, you know, some tips that you can give of which media, social media platforms should we build out?
Yeah. And so I think this comes back to that domain authority thing again. So these social networks have a really high authority with Google, which means having, just even having an account there can help you with your rankings. But when it comes to actually using social media as it, you know, it's supposed to be a communication channel, you want to be a little more mindful about where you're at and where you're focusing your effort. So the first thing is Facebook is still a leader. I mean, everybody is on Facebook. People talk about how the younger generation isn't there as much. They're there because everybody else is there. We've kind of been strong-armed into Facebook.
Right. Like I'm noticing, you know, at the colleges, you know, in universities and technical colleges, they're all forcing students to, you know, use Facebook platforms to find roommates and navigate every campus. So that makes sense.
Exactly. So, you know, if you had to choose one, start with Facebook. Now, whether or not you go on to any others is completely dependent on your market. So it's about understanding who is your market and where are they hanging out. So if you're a professional, like if you're a financial institution, you might want to be on LinkedIn because that's where other professionals are. If you are selling products to a really young, hip generation, you know, the Gen Z, is that the newest one?
Yeah.
You need to be on TikTok because that's where they are. And if you haven't embraced TikTok yet, it is amazing to watch.
Yeah.
I have multiple accounts. I spend time on there. I watch people from a business perspective. It's very interesting what's happening out there. But it's really only right if that's your market. So, you know, it's assess your market and figure out where they are and then go meet them there.
Perfect. All right. Thank you. And then the last question and anything else that, I would also like to ask a second to last question. So what do you do? What can we quickly do if we lose our Google rankings? You mentioned with the chiropractor, how you worked with them. Is there some other key points that you wanted to make here?
Yeah. So, you know, if you find that your site is going down in ranking, I mean, the chances are that you need more content or you've slowed down on your content. That is the number one thing that I would look at. There's also other things you can do. I would suggest going out and getting just a quick audit to see if there's any technical issues there. But content is almost most likely like the number one thing. If it disappears, however, if you search for your website address and your business name in Google and it does not come up, that means you've been penalized. And that's when you want to engage with a specialist.
Great.
Because they're going to be able to go out and find the right tools to start researching why. Because it's probably a very technical issue that most people aren't going to really understand how to figure out. And it'll be a lot quicker to have a professional go in and look into those reasons and provide the strategy for getting out.
Okay. And what are your three apps that you use every day?
Ooh, three apps that I use every day. Well, Facebook. Okay. I mean, that is a given. I also trying to think non-social media because I feel like that's just, you know, where most of us spend our time. I spend a lot of my time on social media. I mean, I'm on every channel there is. So Facebook, TikTok, Instagram are my top ones. And it's really, it's partly communication, it's engaging with people, and it's entertainment too. I mean, TikTok for me is more entertainment than anything.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you. That was really helpful. And it's a, you know, there's a lot to it, but we wanted to kind of take a deep dive into it from an audio perspective.
Absolutely.
And at least talk about it in terms of looking at what's to come and what's happening and why it's important and what you should be aware of, and that your time on your website or your developer's time on the website is actually a good thing, which I had a question about. Well, thank you so much. You've been just tremendously wonderful and so open, and I think you have reached your authentic goal to be authentic in all areas of your life and continue that as you do your life work.
Well, thank you.
Keep it up. And Mike Cavia, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère, brother from another mother. Oh, mon frère de notre mère, brother from another mother. And thank you so much for tuning in. See you next week. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to evolve yourself as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. We've been doing this kind of work since 1992, helping small business owners and emerging entrepreneurial leaders with self-leadership mastery, business ownership success, and that leads to life success. We focus on the dual innovation journey of reinventing yourself as you redesign your business. We do this with one-on-one strategic mentoring sessions. We have several types of labs that you can participate in with your other peers. Both our entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab, which you can really get into the crux of how to run your business more effectively and become more competent. We have meaningful conversations that help with developing a culture that will work for you. I do weekly meditation and yoga that you can participate in to evolve yourself as you redesign your business. You can also sponsor this podcast. We're always looking for people to support our programming, build out our programming with us, and I especially love promoting you. You can get involved in all those different areas because when we mentor, you design a better life, a more fulfilling future as an entrepreneurial leader / innovator, as a competent business owner / practitioner, as a mentor / role model, and as a human being and master of self. Every client starts with a desire to shift something, clarify something, overcome challenges, grow profitability. We started with one entrepreneur. We've mentored thousands. We're ready to work with you. When you show up, we're here. So to get started, go to wementor.com. You can also call me at 612-804-8920, or you can reach me through email, nancy@wementor.com. Get ready and take the next step today.